Well, dear friends, if you'd like to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. We have the Olympics going on right now, and the Olympics have been going quite some time. There was a gap there. But Paul used the Olympics as an illustration of how to live the Christian life. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to start reading from verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Well, Ken's going to be coming later, and he's going to be speaking from the book of Hebrews, but that passage there will give us some background for what he has to say to us tonight.
Good evening to our friends, brothers and sisters in Christ at Central Mountains Baptist Church. It's good to be with you as we're here on this blustery night. It's in spite of being so cold and not being able to get together because of the COVID restrictions, yet what a great privilege it is for us to be able to open God's word together and to be encouraged by God's word. And let's pray and ask God to do that very thing. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your mercies that are in you day by day. We thank you that in your word you encourage us and strengthen us, that your word is a light to our feet, that it strengthens us, that we can desire it and learn and grow by it. And we ask that tonight you would help us as we listen to your word. Help me as I share your word, that it would be an encouragement and a strengthening of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you've been enjoying a little bit of the Olympics. It's been kind of nice in this time of shutdown. Here in Blacktown Council, we're actually not allowed to even leave our council area. And so there's a little more time to look at some of those things. It was two nights ago that the official opening of the 2020 Olympics took place there in Japan, where the representatives of some 206 different nations marched into an almost empty stadium because of the COVID pandemic. Well, the Olympic cauldron was lit and the games of the 32nd Olympiad were declared open. And the athletes who have been practicing and striving, they are there ready to do their very best with the desire that they would have their names recorded in history, in the history of the Olympics. Now, I'm told in my reading that the Olympic Games actually began somewhere around the 8th century before Christ in Greece, the Isthmian Games, as they were called back then. But by the time of the writing of the New Testament scriptures, I also read that there were something like 150 different cities in the Roman Empire where they practice similar types of games. So it's no wonder when in our passage tonight from God's word, a very familiar passage, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through to 3, the writer of Hebrews uses the well understood imagery of a great sporting event to challenge his readers in their walk of faith. I wonder tonight, do you need some encouragement in your walk of faith? I think we do. All of us at times need that extra encouragement along the way. Sometimes we get battered by just the busyness of life. We get battered by the circumstances that really force their way into our lives. At times, just our own emotions can be up and down. And we are reminded that we need to walk by faith, believing God's promises and seeking his strength day by day. So our Bible reading for tonight is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. So if you have your Bibles, please follow as I read this familiar passage, Hebrews 12, verses 1 through to 3. God's word says, "Therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." May God indeed add his blessings as we expand this portion of God's word. The imagery that is given here is that of a great athletic stadium, and the stands are filled with those who in previous years have run the race courageously and are past victors. And we, the readers, we are viewed as the athletes who are runners striving in the midst of a long and grueling race, a race that is a marathon where we face the trials and exhaustions of what every race requires, calling us to endure and to go on to the finishing line, telling us that it's worth it all, telling us to ever look to Jesus. The very Greek word that is used as we look in verse 1, the word for race is the word agon. And of course, we get from that the word agony. It's a tough race. We'll find that in this race that we sometimes speak of as the Christian race, it is a race that seems to go on and on. In fact, it doesn't end until we cross the finish line when we come into Jesus' presence. It's a race that takes sacrifice. A race that needs determination, a race of perseverance, a race of self-discipline. Now, the writer of Hebrews here is writing to his readers who are Jewish Christians. They're genuinely saved, but they've been facing opposition and persecution because they've left Judaism to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been rejected by many of their families and friends. And they're thinking of leaving Christianity and going back to Judaism and thus avoiding conflict. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, you can't go back. You see, Jesus is the only way. And the faith way in Jesus is the way to victory. And so keep running this race. It will be worth it all. So don't quit. Now, I'm hoping at the end of this message that we have tonight, you can remember my outline by three easy statements. Perhaps even a few details as well as the three easy statements. Here are the three statements, the outline of my message tonight. First of all, look backward. Look backward. Look backward and remember the witnesses. Secondly, it is look inward. Look inward. So look backward, look inward, and look upward. So I think we can remember those three things. Look backward, look inward, and look upward. So let's expand these as we look into this portion of God's word. First, the writer of Hebrews says, look backwards, and remember the witnesses. We see this in verse 1 of chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. As mentioned earlier, the picture that is being given here is of a great stadium that is filled with crowds who are watching. And we are the ones who are presently running in this race on the track below. And we are challenged to run hard with endurance because of these witnesses. So who are these witnesses? They're not like the witnesses of a football game here in Australia, where most of the people in the crowd are people that are overweight and couch potatoes who've saved up enough money to go to a game, and they're onlookers and who do nothing else but cheer for their team. These are not the unsaved who are watching our lives, although indeed the unsaved are watching our lives and we should be mindful of them. But when it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, these witnesses are a lot like witnesses in a courtroom's witness box. People who are there to bear testimony, to bear witness to the fact that obedient faith pleases God, that God's grace is sufficient, that the faith way is the only real way of victory, that the faith way sees the invisible, that the faith way endures the impossible, that we can trust in God's promises, and that it will be worth it all in the end. So we haven't answered the question, who are these witnesses? Since verse 1 begins with the word therefore, we have to say, when we read the word therefore, what is it there for? It's linking the first few verses of chapter 12 with all of chapter 11, where we have what we often call the great heroes of the faith, but they're not just great heroes, because if we look at those people in chapter 11, some of them, they have lives that were up and down, and some of them had pretty terrible lives. But they were all who at some time in their life trusted in the promises of God. In times of difficulty, in times of testing, they trusted in God. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, look back at this great cloud of witnesses, these people who are there to encourage you, because they have already run the race. They won the victory by faith. They trusted in the living God. And they're your example to follow. It's something like what I've seen in some of the tennis matches today, where you might have a modern day tennis match, and in that arena you will have there in the stands such people as Rod Laver or Margaret Court or Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley or Ivan Lendl or some of the others, a host of others, and the present day players who are on that court vying to be the present day champions, they look up at those examples, and those examples say, you can do it, that I've done it in the past, that the victory is there and it's yours as well. So look behind you and remember the witnesses. There are many witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11, witnesses to the trustworthiness of the promises of God, witnesses to the importance of the way of faith. I see in it people like Noah in verse 7 of chapter 11, and hear him, so to speak, testifying and running to those running today and saying something like that, if we could imagine. So you think that God takes too much time to answer your prayer requests? You think the Christian life is hard? Well, God asked me to do something that no one else had ever done. He asked me to build an ark, and it took me 120 years to build it. But I didn't quit, because I believed the promises of God. It wasn't easy. The people ridiculed me, but I kept on. And you must keep the promises of God too, because the way of faith pleases God and it's worth it. Or I could imagine if we were able to speak to Abraham, who's recorded in verse 17, it seems as if he says to us something like this. You think that God has called you to go through some difficult times, to do something really hard? Well, I'll tell you what God asked me to do. He asked me to sacrifice my very own son. That was hard, but I believed the promises of God. and therefore I was willing by faith to obey. It's worth it to obey. God can be trusted. Or it could be that I listen to the words of Joseph. He's recorded in chapter 11, verse 22. And in his old age, he would say to us something like, you think things aren't going so good for you? That you've tried to be faithful to God and things seem to be not going so well? Well, I was treated unfairly. I was overlooked. I was sold into slavery. I was imprisoned for crimes I never did. I was lied about. I was forgotten, but not by God. I believed God's promises, and so before I died, I asked that my body would be taken and carried to the promised land that God said would one day be ours. I believed the promises of God. I chose the faith way. And so should you. And one by one, we could call these witnesses to give an account, to testify of the way of faith in the promises of God, that to endure was worth it all. And verse 38 of chapter 11 summarizes these people by saying, these are those of whom the world was not worthy. Each one testifies, you can trust God's promises. Each one testifies the way of faith is the right way. And so keep on. It's worth it. And so we're reminded the first point of this message is look backwards and remember the witnesses. Now, secondly, in our passage, our writer asks us to look inward and remove the hindrances. Look backward and remember the witnesses. Look inward and remove the hindrances. We read once more in verse 1 here. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded so by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is before us. The runners in the ancient Olympic Games were men. They weren't games for the women. And in most cases, the audience were men as well. And they would run naked, stripping off all clothing, lest anything should in some way slow them down and prevent them from winning the victor's crown. For every Christian in this passage, there are two objects that need to be cast aside. We read first, let us lay aside every weight. The word weight speaks of any kind of encumbrance, any kind of bulk, any kind of load, anything that is part of our life that hinders our walk with God and sidetracks us from God, that pulls us away from God. One of the greatest problems for athletes is that though they may still be very fit, when they start to put on weight, it slows them down. All of us know what that's like. Without even realizing it, we put on a pound here and a pound there, a kilo here and a kilo there, until it slows us down and we don't even realize how our health has deteriorated. Well, there are things in life that dampen us spiritually. Sometimes it's we don't even think about those things. They're not obvious sins, but they are nevertheless that which hinders our walk with God. It can be the absolute passion for sports that consumes our minds. It could be that we become lazy and watch so much television or play video games for hours and hours on end or spend so much time on Facebook or on the internet. Things that consume our energy, it could be that we're so consumed with working and working to pay the bills and earn more money that we are too exhausted and tired to take time in God's word and to take time to pray and seek his face. And spiritually, these are hindrances that hurt us along life's way. So let us lay aside every weight. Secondly, we're also to lay aside sin. Sin that so easily ensnares us, says verse 1. One expanded translation puts it this way, and it so vividly pictures what the passage is saying. Let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. The weights, they distract us and slow us down. Sins will destroy us if they're not dealt with and sap our spiritual energy. We know what it is to have that part of our lives, the flesh, the part that we wish was gone in the past and dead and buried, raise its ugly head and still sometimes have its way in our lives. We need to deal with it. Let us lay aside, cast aside every hindrance, every weight, every sin that so easily ensnares us. Take it seriously. Look inward and remove the hindrances. We need to say with the psalmist in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so look back and remember the witnesses. Look within and remove the hindrances. It's worth taking time to think about, what is it in your life that dampens your love for Jesus? Are there things you fill your life with that just simply emotionally exhaust you? You see, this race that we're required to run is a race of endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's not a 100-meter dash. It's a lifelong endurance as the flesh and the world and a host of the powers of darkness do all that they can to discourage us and distract us. And if possible, they would destroy our effectiveness for God and our ministry to others. It's a lifelong marathon. It's not a sprint. And in this race that we call the Christian life, it's important what we focus our eyes upon. Yes, we look backward and we remember the witnesses. Yes, we look within and we remove the hindrances. But above all, we need to look upward and refocus on Jesus. The end of verse 1 says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The first word in verse 2, a powerful word, it's just a simple looking unto Jesus. But this is not the common word for to look or to observe, to see. It's a word that when it's broken down means literally, it's an unusual word, taking your eyes away from everything else and fixing your eyes on Jesus. What problems do you face? Are you keeping your eyes so often on the problem that it's dampening your walk? It's destroying everything you want to do in your Christian life. Take your eyes away from everything else and fix your eyes on Jesus. That's the meaning of this word looking. It's also a present tense, which means constantly be fixing your eyes on Jesus. Constantly be taking your eyes off of those other things that so often dampen our love and distract us from being what God wants us to be. Even in verse 3, where the writer says, for consider him. This word consider, analogizomai, means constantly ponder, be pondering over and over again who Jesus is and what he has done to save us. In some ways, as we look at the end of this passage, we could be saying, first of all, fix your eyes on the person of Jesus. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the author. That word means the originator of our faith. It was on him that we first trusted. It was on him that we believed. We were saved by him. He is the giver of faith. He is the author of faith. And the Bible says he is also the finisher of our faith, or perfecter of our faith, the one who will keep us and one day will complete it on that day when we stand before the Lord in heaven. And when we feel that life has battered us and we're weary and we're considering withdrawing from a close walk with God, maybe withdrawing from the people that we have loved at church, then we need to remember, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Take your eyes off of the circumstances that get you down and fix them on Jesus. Fix your eyes on the person of Jesus. But also fix your eyes on the perseverance of Jesus. He's the example of running that race. We read in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. John MacArthur, in his commentary, says that where it says he is the author and finisher of our faith, that this word author could not only mean the originator, but could be the leader, the one whom you follow in your faith. He is the supreme example of endurance, the one who ran the race for us, the one who won the crown for us. He's the Son of God who entered this world of sin to seek and to save the sinner. He is the one who did all of this, focusing on his ultimate and final glory. And his race took him to the very cross that he willingly endured. It says in our passage that he despised the shame. He thought nothing of the shame that he would face because he thought of us. He thought of the glory of God the Father. He refused to let its indignity and its pain stop us from facing him from facing that cross. He endured, we read, the hostility from sinners against himself. Yet he went to the cross to save us from hell. His perseverance says, I did all of this for you. I poured out my life for you. And my grace will help you to keep on. So look to me. Fix your eyes on the person of Jesus. Fix your eyes on the perseverance of Jesus. And thirdly, fix your eyes on the prize of Jesus. We almost miss this, but in verse 2, we read, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, as he faced the cross, he fixed his eyes on the joy that was set before him. And so he kept on. There was joy in bringing many sons to glory, the joy of presenting them to God the Father, the joy of being seated at the right hand of the throne of God on high, the joy of reigning as the one who is worthy of all glory and honor. And the writer is saying there's joy for us. If we follow in those steps, if we look to Jesus, if we claim the promises of God, then there's great joy that awaits us as well. There's a prize for all who endure. a prize beyond our imagination, the prize of salvation that is given so freely, the prize of sharing in the and joy of sharing in the glory that is belonging to Christ, but he shares it with us, of one day seeing him face to face, one day reigning with him, the prize of hearing, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. There's a day coming of wearing the victor's crown. The prize awaits. And so, my friends, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged at what people or life throws your way. You have a God who has promised, a God who is faithful, a Savior who will never fail you. And though the way of faith is not always or even often the easy way, yet it's the right way. It's the way of following the promises of God. It's the way of faith. You can trust in this God. It's worth it. For consider him, verse 3 says, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. God wants to encourage you tonight to look to Jesus and trust his promises. So look backwards and remember the witnesses who tell you that God always keeps his promises and that the faith way is the right way no matter the trials. And look inward. Are there things that are hindrances or even things that are sins that have come along and are now blocking your response and your love for the Lord? But especially look upwards and refocus on Jesus. Ponder again and again our Savior and his sacrifice out of love for you. The prize awaits. And so be courageous as you run this race with endurance. Run it carefully, run it consistently, but keep your eyes on the finishing line, on your Savior, the Lord Jesus. Will you do that? By God's grace, I will too. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your mercies that are there day by day. You understand our frame. You remember our weakness. You remember that we're dust. You know when we grow weary. You know when we grow frustrated. You know when sometimes we feel like our faith is so weak. You know when we feel like throwing in the towel. And you call us, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You've given us the promises from you. And we can trust them. And so, Father, for those who are listening at this very moment, who are struggling with life, struggling with family, struggling with circumstances, struggling with self, would you help them just to rest in you and find that your promises are true and to run that race with endurance, looking to Jesus? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.